بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، لقاؤنا الخامس تحت عنوان أمراض القلوب، والمرض الثاني من هذه الأمراض الذي سنتكلم عنه في هذا المساء الطيب هو مرض الحسد. الحسد وأثره. We're talking about the diseases of the heart, evil actions of the hearts and the tongues. And this is our fifth meeting. We have spoken about the first disease, which is greed. And today we'll start talking about envy and the consequences, the evil consequences of envy. Before we start, how about your brother Barak Hussein? Does he need a takbir or what? ¿Qué piensa, señor? Acerca su hermano Barak Hussein. Nosotros presidencia en los Estados Unidos. You guys look depressed. What's the deal? Well,
beer and wine.
Nah?
Beer and wine. We lost beer and wine.
MashaAllah. So double your pressure with Barak Hussein and with no beer and no wine. MashaAllah. No envy. Don't envy any of those two. Say Alhamdulillah and continue on working. قدر الله سبحانه وتعالى في هذه الحياة أن يجتمع الخير والشر والحق والباطل والحسن والقبيح والمؤمنون والكافرون، ثم يجتمع الخير والحق وأصحابه كلهم في الجنة، ويجتمع الباطل والقبيح والشر وأهله كلهم في النار. وكما حفت الجنة بالشهوات بالمكاره، حفت النار بالشهوات، والطريق إلى الجنة مليء بالعقبات، ومن أكبر هذه العقبات النفس. Brothers, when we talk about predestiny, when we talk about the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala predestined that good there will be in this life, good and evil together, and there will be evil and good, believers, disbelievers, truth, falsehood, but they will be eventually separated. You will have the truth and the good and the believers in the Jannah, and you have the falsehood and the ugly acts or the evil and the disbelievers in the hellfire. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surrounded the Jannah with hateful things, meaning with hard things, with desirous things that people desire a lot, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surrounded the hellfire with good things. Good things, not good in the sense of what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but things that people desire. Meaning that if you want to go to hell, very simple, just be yourself. Don't do anything to yourself, you go straight to hell. Fight yourself, inshallah you'll make it to Jannah. The big obstacle, the major obstacle for us to go to Jannah, or one of those obstacles, is ourselves. Ourselves is a major problem. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah yaqul shabbaha an-nafs bil-jabal al-ha'il bayna al-'abdi wa rabbih. Ibn al-Qayyim compared ourselves is like a mountain between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does that mean? In order for you to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what do you have to do? You gotta climb. It's an obstacle. You gotta climb. God knows when He says mountain, we're talking big mountains. So in order for you to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to really strive hard and work hard against yourself. Therefore, it is incumbent upon every person to really look at himself, to really scrutinize himself and find out what deficiency he or she might have in order for them to work against that. Because this is what's going to hinder you in your quest to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you want to work on making yourself righteous, and you want to get rid of all those evil things that yourself might bring in the path of going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, you don't want to leave yourself the way it is, because you might wake up one day and it's already yourself led you to destruction. لما كان الحسد آفة من هذه الآفات الخطيرة التي تمكنت في قلوب أصحابها من هؤلاء ضعفاء الإيمان. لا يمكن إذا تمكن الحسد من قلب لا يمكن أن يتخلص منه الإنسان إلا بعون الله سبحانه وتعالى. فالحسد من الأمراض المستعصية. When you talk about envy, it is a chronic disease. It's not easy to get rid of it. You really desperately need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you. Envy overcomes weak people, weak believers in general, because it is a destructive disease. And when it comes to the person, it's not easy to get rid of it. And when we talk about ourselves and the desires that we have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us desires for things, but we are supposed to strive against it. So when I said leave yourself as it is, it will lead you to destruction. Because yourself desires things indiscriminatory. This is good, I like it. Yourself doesn't say, is it permissible or not? You are the one, your heart is the one who has to fight against yourself, so to stop from that. Yourself created to love wealth. Yourself created to love children. Yourself created to love women. Women created to love men. All of those things are given things. If you leave it as it is, it's all sinful. So what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to curb that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the guides. Therefore, when we talk about envy, we have to really have to talk about it in details. We have to have certain meetings. For that purpose, I have decided to talk about envy. When you refer to envy by itself, talk about envy by itself, and then talk about the envious person, and then we'll talk about the envy and its evil consequences, and then we'll talk about, check this out, envy between people of knowledge and scholars. People of knowledge and scholars. And then we'll see how we can treat that envy according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger taught us. Talk about envy. Let's talk about an introduction to the envy. And when we talk about envy, brothers and sisters, we are talking about a disease that is a reality, a hidden reality. It is a guaranteed makhatar. When you talk about makhatar, it is things that a person endangers himself with. This is a danger that is guaranteed for the person who is infected with that disease. We are talking about a severe caution from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those people who have that disease and don't do anything about it. When we talk about envy, we talk about a chronic disease that is as we mentioned, it is especially with the weak believers. When we talk about envy, we talk about an evil, a low manner. It is a very low manner that a person would have if he is an envious person. This is for several reasons. We'll get, inshallah, into that when we talk about the consequences of that envy. When we talk about envy, we remember one thing special, the story of Musa alayhi salam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salam sent his son Binyamin with his brothers, when Yusuf alayhi salam asked his brothers to bring their brother with them, and they did not know, of course, Yusuf at that time, and he sent their brother with them, and they were all men, handsome men, big number. Yaqub alayhi salam advised them. He qala ya bunayya, qala ya baniya la tadkhulu min babin wahid wadkhulu min abwabin mutafarriqa. When you go to Egypt, do not enter from one door, enter from different doors. وَمَا أُغْنِي عَنْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. To prevent envy. You look, mashallah, look, handsome men, all of them brothers. One mother, one father. Envy, you can strike them right away. So Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salam took the means. He said, وَمَا أُغْنِي عَنْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْءٍ. I mean, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. But I'm not going to leave it as it is. I'm going to do something about it. And I'll leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salam did with his children. Also, in Surah Al-Qalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, وَإِن كَادَ الَّذِينَ وَإِن يَكَادُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ لَمَّا سَمِعُوا الذِّكْرِ. يُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ لَمَّا سَمِعُوا الذِّكْرِ. لشدة حسد وبغض المشركين للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, for their hatred and their envy to Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they are about to literally smite you or enchant you with their eyes, just looking at you, envying you for being a prophet, just simply out of hatred and out of envy. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقُ وَمِنْ شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبُ وَمِنْ شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ وَمِنْ شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدَ. Seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from all and everything He has created. There is something here to pay attention to. It tells us everything, which means human and jinn. We can't include the angels. Why? They will not do anything evil. لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم. So we have two who might do this evil act, human and jinn. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from those who envy. When we talk about envy, brothers, many people literally died. When we talk about evil, camels were cooked. What does this have to do with it? Camels were cooked. Now, when you have a nice camel, you don't really want to slaughter it, unless you really there's a need for it. But why did you cook it? Because somebody strike it with their eye or with his eye, and the camel was about to die, so you slaughter it before it dies. You cook it. Not because you want to cook it, because somebody killed it. There's one true story, actually. You know, I thought it was a joke one time, I heard it. But when I said it one time, the brother told me it's a real story. That one envious person, he wanted, a person who hates another person. He has several camels and such, and he's jealous of one camel. He just want to kill that camel. So he knows a person who's very envious. All he has to do is just look at the thing and with the intention to strike, and it just happens. So he went to him and made a deal with him, and he told him, when those camels come out of the shed, I want you to strike a camel with so and so description. He said, how am I going to know? I mean, from a distance, camels, they all look the same. He said, don't worry about that. I'll leave my son with you, and when the camels come out, my son will point out the camel for you and strike that one. Okay. So his son sat with him. When the camels came out, the son said, Ammu, Ammu, Hayu, Hayu. He said, Uncle, Uncle, it's that one. He said, where? I don't see it. He said, it's that one over there. He looked at the son and he said, you can see that far? The boy went blind. And instead of killing the camel, he killed the boy. So this is real. I mean, some people think, people don't envy. Or you could say, I don't envy. I'm a righteous person. I have good intention. I'm not jealous of him. You could envy and you have no idea that you envy. And that is why we will tell you what to do in case you happen to be one of those people. Even if you're not, because you may not. You have to do something. Women especially envy a lot. Especially if the woman is pretty. Because women are a lot more jealous from one another, referring to their beauty, than men. So many women, and you find people who are sick in the hospitals, all the reports comes negative, negative, negative. You don't have this, you don't have that. You're not sick, but the person cannot do, he's sick. But the doctors say you don't have anything. It could be that. It could be envy, and it has to be checked out, because it has been proven that many people are sick because of envy. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-aynu haqq. Striking someone with your eyes is true. وَلَوْ كَانَ شَيْءٌ سَابِقٌ الْقَدَرُ لَسَبَقَتْهُ الْعَيْنِ. If there were to be anything that is faster than predestiny, than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already predestined, the eye will be faster than that. But of course there isn't. Just to tell you how quickly an eye can strike a person, or a person can strike with his eye another person. Ibn Hajar rahimahullah said, Al-isaba biha shay'un thabitun mawjood. Envying someone with your eyes is something known and understood and does exist. It's not a myth. When you talk about envy, it is a disease. One of the diseases of the heart. One of the wise people, he said, ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يَهْنَأُ لِصَاحِبِهِمَا عَيْشٍ. Three things that if the person has it, he will never rest in his life. الْحِقْدْ وَالْحَسَدْ وَسُوءُ الْخُلُقْ. Spitefulness and envy and bad manners. If you have any of those diseases, you are in trouble, and you will be in trouble as long as you have it. When you talk about diseases, or the particular disease of envy, we're talking so many diseases that comes along with it. يعني الحسد يتضمن العديد من الأمراض. Let's see some of the diseases that results from inflaming the fire of envy in the heart of one person. If this envy has been flamed in the heart of a weak believer, look what happens to him. Number one, he will have hatred. He will have spitefulness. He will have enmity. He will have grief. He will object to the rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will have grief. He will have worry. He will have despair. he will be waiting for opportunities to strike the person whom he hates. He will be anxious or full of anxiety rather. He will be confused. It will lead him to basically follow the person. The justice, spying on the person anywhere he goes so you can find something where you can hit that person. All of that for the purpose of hurting the person that you are planning to envy. But guess what? Nothing can happen without the leave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will comfort us. Because if you know this disease and you know how many people have it and you know how dangerous it is, it makes you worried. Yes, it makes me worried. But as long as I'm following what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to follow, I leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If something's going to happen, it's going to happen. Some people worry so much about it, they try to basically conceal everything that they have so they can protect themselves from the envy. But the person who wants to envy you, as you can see here, he will follow every path to know what's going on in your life. You buy a car, you don't know the price. He doesn't know how much you paid for it. You don't think he's going to find out? I'm sure one person, you're going to tell one person how much he has it, he'll find out. He'll send his wife, he'll send his daughter, he'll send someone to go and talk to your wife and dig for the price and know the price if he wants to know. Everything that you are trying to hide, eventually he will get it. So might as well just disclose it for him, but it doesn't hurt to make him suffer. Don't tell him, let him find out. You know he's going to find out anyway, but let him suffer and work for that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about the hypocrites. أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَى مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came from the people of Quraysh, came from the Arab. He is not from the children of the Israelites. He is not from the descendants of Isaac, Ishaq alayhi salam. So they envied him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for that, and they envied him for being a prophet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَقَدْ آتَيْنَا آلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَ وَآتَيْنَاهُمْ مُلْكًا كَبِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that we have given the آل إبراهيم, إبراهيم عليه السلام and his family and his children, we have given them, Ibrahim عليه السلام is a prophet, his son is a prophet, and the son of his sons are prophet, Yaqub, Ishaq, Ismail, Yusuf and such, all from the descendants of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look what the disbelievers said about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Referring to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just not coming from a prestigious family. وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ. Had this Quran been revealed on someone from either Al-Ta'if or the city of Mecca, a great person, yeah, we might follow him, but it's not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered them, أَهُمْ يَقْسِمُونَ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّكَ. Are they the one who's going to divide the sustenance and the status and the bliss and the life for people? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same thing with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was chosen to be the prophet. Who had chosen him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen him. So when you envy him for that, you're actually doing what? Rejecting what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done. And that's a major sin when it comes to that. Shuraih, aw qala rajul li Shuraih al-Qadi. One of the people told Shuraih something, the following. He said, Inni la ahsuduka ala ma ara min sabrika ala al-khusum وَوُقُوفِكَ عَلَىٰ غَامِضِ الْحِكَمِ. He came to Shuraih, one man. He said, you know, I envy you. The way that you persevere against those enemies of yours. He has enemies, and they attack him, and he perseveres, and he's patient. He said, I envy you for that. and I envy you for being so wise. Look what he answered him. قال ما نفعك ذلك ولا ضرني. He told him, you're not going to benefit from that and you're not going to harm me. It's not going to benefit you, because envying someone is not going to do anything good to you. It's going to ruin you. And it's not going to harm me, because I'm relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not to say that he cannot envy him, but his reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm not worried about it. You go do it. So it's an advice for him. Usually when you do something, you really want to do something that benefits you. And he's telling him, it's not going to benefit you. So why you have to waste your time envying me for that? Just strive for it and do it for yourself. Look at Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He commanded the following. He said, لا تباغضوا ولا تحاسدوا ولا تدابروا وكونوا عباد الله إخوانا. Do not hate one another. Do not envy one another. Do not turn your back to one another. Be brothers and sisters to one another. Servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are brothers and sisters. And then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directed our attention to how to have our hearts free of all diseases of the heart, including envy. He said, يطلع عليكم الآن من هذا الفج رجل من أهل الجنة. A man from this door is going to show up right now, and he is from the people of the Jannah. And when the companion radiallahu anh showed up, three times he kept telling them that. Then Abdullah ibn Umar, or one of the companions, decided to go with him and spend 3 days with him to see what does he do so he can deserve that Jannah. Eventually he learned from him that he doesn't do much, except before he goes to sleep, he removes and he forgives every person who has done anything negative to him during the day. Meaning, he cleans his heart from envy. He cleans his heart from spiteness. He cleans his heart from enmity and such. Why? Because they are all results from the hasad that we are talking about. قال الجاحظ الحسد داء ينهك الجسد. Al-Jahiz said that envy is a disease that ruins your body. وَيُفْسِدُ الْوِدْ, and ruins your friendship. عِلَاجُهُ عَسِرْ, its treatment is very difficult. وَصَاحِبُهُ ضَجِرْ, and the person who carries that disease is grouchy. وَهُوَ بَابٌ غَامِضْ, it's a vague disease. وَأَمْرٌ مُتَعَذِّرْ, impossible disease. فَمَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهُ فَلَا يُدَاوَى, what appears or what manifests from it is not treated. وَمَا بَطَنَ مِنْهُ فَمُدَاوِيهِ فِي عَنَاءٍ, and anyone who has it inside of his heart, the one who wants to treat it is suffering all the time, because it is a tough disease. وَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ النَّاسَ لَا يَحْسُدُونَ إِلَّا أَهْلَ الْفَضْلِ وَالْمَكَانَ الرَّفِيعَ. This is a good one that comforts you too. Know that people normally don't envy a person unless he has a status or he is a good person. They're not going to come to an alcoholic and go, MashaAllah. They're not going to come to somebody who is so miserable. So usually if people are envying you, know one thing, that you are above them, at least. That's why they are envying you. Look what the poet says. شكوت من ظلم الوشاة ولم أجد ذا سؤدد إذا أصيب بحسدي. لا زلت يا صبط الكرام محسدا والتافه المسكين غير محسد. He says that I complained from the oppression of the informants. Why are you laughing, brother? We're not talking about the FBI. And I did not find any person who has a status, but he has been envied. لا زلت يا صبط يا صبط الكرام محسدا. You are the best of the noble people, you are continuing and you're going to be envied all the time, because the low person is definitely not going to be envied. A better line than that, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ نُجُومٌ لَا عِدَادَ لَهَا أَوْ لَا عِدَادَ لَهَا وَلَيْسَ يُخْسَفُ إِلَّا الشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ وَفِي السَّمَاءِ نُجُومٌ لَا عِدَادَ لَهَا. There are so many stars in the sky, too many numbers. But guess what? لَا يُخْسَفُ إِلَّا الشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ. But when an eclipse happens, what does it happen to? The moon and the sun. Why? The most beautiful ones. The rest of them are not that beautiful, so the eclipse happens to those two, and the same thing with the people. People with prestige and status. When we talk about envious people, we're talking about sick people. He hates goodness to reach people. He is cheap. He is greedy for himself. Not only that, and he doesn't like anyone else to benefit. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does something good to another person, it makes him angry. And he knows that this blessing is not going to decrease his. And it's not from him. Yet, he doesn't like it. This is how, miser, the person who envy is. Now, he doesn't work hard to get that blessing. And at the same time, he wishes that it will depart from the person whom he is envying. And sometimes he has triple or multiples of the same ni'mah that he is envying the other person for, and yet he still envies. So don't think that an envious person is a poor person, or someone who doesn't have a home, or doesn't have a car, or lives a bad life. No, somebody could be better than you in wealth and still envy you. So it is not limited to someone who is below you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ كَمَا كَفَرُوا فَتَكُنُونَ سَوَاءً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the hypocrites. They wish that you become a disbeliever like they have became disbelievers, so you will be equal to them. Because if you're not a disbeliever, you are better than them, so they want you to come down to the same level. وَدَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَوْ يَرُدُّونَكُمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ كُفَّارًا حَسَدًا. Many of the people of the book wished that they will work so hard to make you disbelievers out of envy. Look at one of the tactics. لا تؤمنوا آمنوا بالذي أنزل على الذين آمنوا وجه النهار واكفروا آخره لعلهم يرجعون. This is one of their plans. Say ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah in the morning, you're a Muslim. In the afternoon, become a disbeliever. What for? So you will fill and strike doubt in the heart of the believers. How come so many people entering Islam and exiting from Islam so quickly? There must be something bad about Islam. You see what I'm saying? The good thing is what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about that. He said this is their plan. And the Muslims saw it. So, conclusion, we don't care about what they do. Hadn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that to us, it will strike doubt in the minds of weak believers. You know how sometimes you go like, I switch from this company to this company. And then people switch back. No, it's no good. Then you start looking at yourself. You're happy, everything is fine, everything is good, you have no problem. But you say, all of those people cannot be stupid, and I am the smart one. There must be something wrong why people are switching from this company to this company. It will put doubt in your heart at least. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, revealed that. يقول شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله عن الحسد: مرض غالب فلا يخلص منه إلا قليل من الناس، ولهذا يقال: ما خلا جسد من حسد، لكن اللئيم يبديه والكريم يخفيه. ابن تيمية رحمه الله said that when it comes to envy, it is a disease very few people who are free from it, and for that it was said that no single body is free of envy, but the difference is the wicked, mean person shows it and the noble person hides it, and it doesn't affect unless you do something about it. You act upon it or you say it. But if it's just there with you and you don't do anything, it's not going to harm anybody. And that, just like I look at a person, I don't like him, I'm not going to be blamed for that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to consider me sinful unless I say something to him or I make an act against him. The same thing with hasad. Hasad is the first sin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was disobeyed by in the sky, and the first sin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was disobeyed by on earth. In the sky, خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَار وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِين. Why should I bow for Adam and I feel I'm better than him? Arrogance and envy. He should bow for me, not me. I'm better than him. Down on earth, Habil and Qabil. The one with the calf is the killer, right? Abel and Cabe, right? Ever heard of him? Abel and Cabe? Is that what you call him? Abel and Cabe? Cain? Really? Maybe Halloween is affecting us. Look what happened. One of them, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the beginning, Eve delivers Tawam. Every time she has birth, it's a twin, a boy and a girl. A boy and a girl, and another boy and a girl. Not to marry sister, brother and sister. The second will marry the first, and the first will marry the second. It's like they're brothers and sisters, but it's not the twin brothers and sisters. This is the beginning of marriage. Now, Qabil and Habil. Habil's sister was prettier. No, rather, Qabil's sister was prettier. Now she is going to marry Habil. Qabil, jealous. He wants her. He wants his sister, the twin sister, rather than the other one. It's against the wish and the command of his father, Adam alayhi salam. Yani he's sinning, but jealousy made him do that. So he had to fight with his brother until they decided to give a sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever sacrifice is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will get that pretty sister. Well, Habil is a righteous man. He had given the best of the animals that he has. The best ram, he gave it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Qabil, he was a farmer, so he gave the worst of his harvest. He has to save some for the pretty girl. They put it there, the fire came, a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it. The fire comes down and it consumes what is accepted. The fire came down and consumed the ram. Boy, he was angry. He agreed on that deal. He was angry and he said, I'm going to kill you. Look at the answer of his righteous brother. He told him, Allah accepts from righteous people. I have given the best that I have. You gave the worst to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is God. This is like a group of people met, they found a treasure. I'm not going to tell you their nationalities either. Or religion, it's religion wise here. This is how they planned. They wanted to give some for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and some for themselves, so they don't know how to divide it. So the generous one, he said, we'll give half to Allah and half to Allah. The other one, he said, no, we draw a small circle and we drop all the money in it. Whatever stays in the circle, we give it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever comes outside the circle, we take it. Now you can tell that this is definitely not a generous person. So the point is I'm trying to make is Qabil eventually killed his brother because of jealousy. Because he wants to marry his sister, and he followed every mean to get it, and it still did not turn him away or calm that hatred that resulted from envy to his brother until he killed his brother. Now, envy destroys you. So he killed his brother. His brother is going to Jannah. He's going to hellfire. Because of that death, every killing that takes place on earth until the day of judgment, he's going to get a portion of it. Because he is the first one who legislated killing. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you show someone a righteous path or righteous act, you get the reward until the day of judgment, and vice versa if you show him an evil one. And he is the first one to show us how to kill. And guess who helped him?
Shaitan.
Shaitan. He doesn't know what kill means. You know, he comes to his brother and stroke his head and touches him here. He doesn't know that, like choke him, he will die. He doesn't know that. He's never seen death. He doesn't know how to kill. Then the shaitan, it was reported that the shaitan showed him what to do. He took a ram or a bird or something and he put his head on a rock and crushed it with something else. So he said, this is what I should do. So eventually he killed his brother. He doesn't know what to do with the body. Nobody showed him that you got to dig a hole in the ground and put him there and cover him. So look at the punishment. He has to carry him on his back everywhere he goes. He doesn't know what to do with him. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent two crows or ravens. They fought in front of him. One of them killed the other and the killer dug in the ground, put the body there, covered it. And he was just looking, he said, Ya waylata, ahajastu an akuna mithla hadha al-ghurab? How dumb. I couldn't even be smarter than this bird so I can cover my own brother's body. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, because of that, we have legislated that if a person kills one person, it's like killing the entire humanity. How many men were there at that time? It's him and his brother. So he killed all men. He killed one man, but in reality he killed all men. And if you revive one, you revive all because of this ugly disease. What is hasad? To wish that the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be removed from the person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed, whether this blessing is religion or this blessing is some of those things in this dunya. Tayyib, inshallah, we will give you a final one here before we stop and talk about the person himself, the person who commits this major disease. Don't want to make it too long for you. Finally, Imam Ibn Qudam al-Maqdisi يقول اعلم أن الغيظ إذا كذم وعجز عن التشفي في الحال رجع إلى الباطن فاحتقن فيه فصار حقدا وعلامته دوام بغض الشخص واستثقاله والنفور منه، فالحقد ثمرة الغضب والحسد من نتائج الحقد. You get angry, he said basically, you don't control your anger, you could not fulfill your anger from that person, it kind of goes back down inside of your heart and it becomes congested in the form of spitefulness. And the sign that you have that spitefulness, you start to hate the person and you start to cannot even see or associate that person. And what happens after that? It changes to envy. So you have anger, you could not fulfill, it changes to spitefulness, the spitefulness changes to envy. This is how envy comes. So if you come to anger, which another destructive disease of the heart, we'll talk about later inshallah, we'll find that. Next time inshallah we'll talk about kinds of hasad. There are two kinds of hasad or envy, and we'll continue our talk inshallah in this subject. If you have any question or comment inshallah, you can go ahead. If not, سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك. You can always go to imamhasankhalil.wordpress.com to view this lecture and other lectures, or even watch it live on sunnahfollowers.net every Wednesday inshallah. If you have any question here or off of the internet referring to the topic, please. Tafadhal.